I was really clear midway through the week what we needed to do this morning. We have spent some time in recent days speaking about justice. Thank you. Justice. And I haven't shared this because I was bored and didn't know what to bring to you. We have shared this because I am absolutely convinced this is the heart of God for the world that he gave his son to die for, because he wanted to turn things around and correct things. This is what God's heart is about. So when we ask, Lord, what do you want us to do? His response is in Scripture, and it's really clear already, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we act justly and we love mercy and we pour those out to other people as God guides us, as we walk humbly with him. That's what he calls us to do. The last 2 weeks we've been looking at the subject of justice, and last week I read these verses to you. This was where God was calling his people to set up judges, to set up law courts, to administer, but administer fairly. This was from Deuteronomy 16. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving to you. That could be a little catchphrase for God's people. Follow justice and justice alone. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what we called distributive justice. We looked at the idea that justice is to be shared with everybody, not God's people in the church alone, but to be shared, to look for those who desperately need to be given a chance, to be given, those who are most vulnerable, who need to be given a leg up, and find ways of giving them opportunities. We recognize that it was all about the Sabbath principle. The Sabbath principle is you work for 6 days, and on seven, you stop and you have a break, because it is right that as human beings, we have that point of break. So God then said to the people of Israel, apply that to the way you live your lives, to community, to all of your social interaction. So after every 7 years, there was to be a Sabbath year. It was called the year for canceling debts. Deuteronomy 15. And every 7 Sabbath years come to the year which was the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year. And there, items which had been sold off and given to other people that allowed some folks to get very rich would be given back to those God had originally given them to. What it meant was that every 7 years, and in particular every 50 years, those who have been dispossessed, those who've got themselves into debt, those who find themselves in a miserable cycle that they cannot get out of, what we today would call the poverty cycle, what we today would regard as being that hopeless pit that there's no hope in God's community, that ends, because every 7 years, people are released from the debts that they had. It sounds like it's something that couldn't work in our communities, but God was saying, I will make it work if you follow this commandment every 7 years. That's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. Last week, we then followed that up with what God's instructions were when things go wrong. What happens when there is injustice? And it gave us this system, the first genuinely fair system of giving justice in a community. Judges were to be appointed, law courts were to be established, and fair justice was to be dispensed. And we looked at all of that. So what God was doing was he was providing for those who were most vulnerable in society, the old, the young, the dispossessed, those who, even for their own sake, have got themselves into debt, into a real mess. God provides for them, and he used his people to make sure society was set up to do that. Then he created an order so that relationships were right. But we realized last week that the thing that comes with that was that God also expects expects the whole community to be involved. He draws community in so that relationships become part of solving the problems. When a crime is committed, the objective is not just to provide punishment for the person that committed the crime, but to then restore the relationships that have been damaged. Victim, criminal, and everybody else who's been impacted. And it's called restorative justice. That's what we looked at in the last 2 weeks. And I was going to share one other aspect of justice with you this morning. And then I heard the news, and I heard of the arrests that the police had made, 800 or so earlier in the week. And it spoke directly into something happening to address one of the biggest injustices in our society that I'm going to let Lorinda tell you about, because she does know a lot more. No, when I say she knows a lot more, she's involved much more on a day-to-day basis with this than I am. But she wants to say some other things too. So, over to you.
Good morning, everybody. If you can't hear me, please wave or something. Chris, I'm so sorry, you're going to have to operate the PowerPoint for me. Is that okay? So, I wonder if you've ever felt a bit helpless, a bit powerless. I wonder if you've listened to the news, and there's a whole list of things that might make you feel powerless. So, Chris, if you'd like to pop them up for me. Perhaps the divisions over Brexit. Perhaps the terror attacks. Perhaps the war in Syria and the terrible pictures that are still coming. The poverty in our country and around the world. Knife crime is on the up. And then there is climate change and pollution. And then the future of our young people. I wonder if any of those things just make you feel a bit despairing. And I think probably for me, quite often I do feel like that. Well, certainly I did, until I read a book that really spoke to me. And that book was... Sorry, can you scroll on a bit? That book was called Dirty Glory, and it's by Pete Gregg. And I'm not the only person it spoke to. Lots of people I've spoken to have been impacted by it. People all over the world have been impacted by it. And the reason it really helped me is because it said three things about God. Prayer is powerful. It said that God is at work. And it said, join in. And there's some amazing testimonies. If you haven't read the book, I strongly recommend it. But one of the things that came out to me was that we don't need to worry, because those things that we are concerned about, God is already there. God is already acting. And we have to see, where is God acting, and join in. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit. Chris, if you could go on, please. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about praying for others. And this is not something I've ever found easy. I'm going to be really honest with you and say there have been times when we've sat in a circle here in Parsons Heath having our prayer meeting where I have thought, I wish I was somewhere else. I don't find that kind of prayer very easy, but something in me has really been stirred by reading the book, by talking to others about the way that prayer works. And I think once you realize that prayer works, it makes it so much more exciting. We're not sitting in a stuffy room just because we think we should be there for an hour on a Wednesday evening or whenever it is. We are praying so that God will act and restore our world. So, a few ideas for how we can pray for others. Idea number one. We're praying, when we pray, thy kingdom come, what we're praying for is for God's will to be done. So, Chris, thank you. We need to listen to God's prompting, and there's lots of ways, I'm sure you already know, there's lots of ways that we can do that, but I just thought I'd give three sort of quite practical examples. First of all, is there someone on your heart? Is there someone that you just keep thinking about, or you see them and you have a real kind of feeling for them? So that could be God's prompting to pray for them. Is there a situation that you hear about that really speaks to you? It might make you really hurt inside. It might make you angry. It might make you sad. It might be something you see on the news. It might be something you hear about in Colchester. That could be God's prompting. And then, is there something that just gives you a real burden, a real heaviness, and you think, I really want to do something about this, but I don't know what? That could be God saying, I want you to pray for this. So listen to God's prompting. Could come in lots of different ways. And then remember that in prayer, we're partnering with God. So in Ezekiel, I think that's the next one. In Ezekiel, it says, when we're interceding for the world, we're standing in the gap, but we're doing it with the authority of God. We're not doing it from a position of weakness. We're doing it with God's authority. And then also in Ephesians 2, it says, we're seated with Christ. So we're actually, he's next door. So we're not praying from a place of submission or we're frightened or we're scared. We're praying from a place of authority. And of course, all of that is through Jesus. So in terms of thy kingdom come, there are lots of things that we could pray about, but I'd like to share with you something that I know quite a lot about, and it relates back to what Steve was saying about the arrests that took place over the weekend. There is a situation that has been growing throughout the country where children and vulnerable adults are being used to distribute drugs. Think it's not happening here? Think again. If you put the map up, Chris, you'll see that this is an amazingly malicious, skillful, devious way of taking the main centres of London and Birmingham and Manchester and feeding drugs out, even to Woodbridge, even to Audley. Wherever you think they can't be, they can be through this system. And this system is called County Lines. Could I have the next slide, please? So I just thought I'll tell you a little bit about it. You might have heard it in the news. The arrests last weekend, I think, were in Norfolk, Suffolk and Bedfordshire. Thousands of pounds worth of drugs were seized. Many individuals were arrested. How does it work? So you've got your really big drug runner, drug lord, in London or Manchester or Birmingham. They have a network of people working for them, and their job is to recruit vulnerable people. When I say vulnerable people, it could be children. How do they do it? Well, they just hang around. They hang around the places where children are. They hang around schools. They hang around playgrounds. They might hang around children's homes because those children are particularly vulnerable. And they'll say to them, they'll get into conversation. They'll say, well, do you want to earn some extra money? Would you like a little bit of extra cash? And most children, most young people would like some extra money. So they get snared in. They say, well, all you have to do, look, you take this phone, I'll contact you and I'll tell you where I want you to deliver a package. Okay? You won't know anything about it. You just deliver the package. So obviously that's how it starts. And then this is where it gets really, really devious. So the child or the young person is busy, you know, picking up the phone messages, right, go to number 27, Parsons Heath, deliver the package, you know, get the money, easy money, easy money. Then, when they've built up quite a lot of money, the drug runners say, right, I want you to do quite a big job for me, and they give them a lot of drugs, and they say, I want you to go and deliver over to Woodbridge. And they get mugged. And all the drugs get stolen. They get mugged, they get beaten up. What the young person doesn't realize is that it's actually the drug runner who's organized that. And once they've been beaten up and they've lost the money, the drug runner comes back to them and says, well, you owe me £1,000, what are you going to do about it? And they are hooked. They cannot get out. And so any thought of being independent, being able to move away from that kind of thing, can't happen because suddenly they're in massive, massive debt. And so the only way they can pay that debt off is to carry on working for them. So who does it, I think the next one's who does it affect? Where is it happening? So it's happening everywhere. The police are really worried. You know, it's in Norfolk, it's in Suffolk. There might be a few remote parts of the country where it hasn't got to, but because it all works on mobile phones and because it's anonymous, it's everywhere. And then finally, who is affected? Who pays the price? Well, let me tell you, it's not the super rich drug runners in London, because there's so many layers of people between them and the police that they will never, ever get arrested. The people who are suffering, the people who pay the price, the people who get arrested are the young people who got sucked in. I happen to know that because one of the arrests was somebody that I've been working with. And I said to him about 2 months ago, I said, "We worry about you because we care about you." And he said, "You don't need to worry about me." Last weekend he got arrested. So for me, praying about county lines is quite a personal thing because I can see so clearly how some of our vulnerable young people get sucked into it. But I also think, as God's people, we should be praying about it because it is evil. It really is evil. And all I would say is that when you're thinking about what to pray for thy kingdom come, bear in mind some of the situations that our young people face. Pray for their protection. Pray that the police will have wisdom about what to do. And pray that people won't be sucked into this awful thing. Thank you.
Thank you. So when you come next week, hopefully Thursday and every day afterwards, the items which are on boards will prompt you. There will be lots of things to challenge you so you know what it is that you can pray for. And I hope God will just speak to you and lay something in your heart to say, "I've got to pour myself out for these folk." Let me tell you in a nutshell what really gets to me about this. The heart of God is to reach out to the people who are the most vulnerable in this world and help them. The action of County Lines is to target the people of this world who are the most vulnerable and break them. It is utterly evil. And I believe the only power that is going to stop this is God. And I believe that. And in Manchester, the churches are gathering around the police force and the police are saying, "Keep praying, things are happening." In London, gang members are walking into churches and are handing weapons over and putting them down. 2,000 people became Christians in one particular group of churches this year alone. People who were formerly involved in gangs and all sorts of other things because folks are praying. What can we do? We can pray. We can stop just learning about justice and start acting on it. And that's what we're going to do now. So I want to ask you, and this is where you might feel all uncomfortable, "Oh, I don't like praying, what am I going to say?" If you're not comfortable praying out loud yourself, fine. Listen to the prayers of other people. Listen to a heartfelt cry to God to act. And just as you're listening, just say, "Yes, amen, Lord." That's you praying. That's praying. So this morning, we're going to start that process. And I'm going to invite us to just pour out prayers for the vulnerable in our society. Whatever's on your heart. It might not be people in Colchester. It might be situations you know somewhere else. It might be individuals. I'm asking you to even name them. But let's right now be people who don't just talk about it, but people who do it. Let's cry out to God. Is that okay? Yes.
Things that I have heard through my job is that these counties drug dealers also approach older people living alone in their own houses. I don't know how they manage to contact them, but they befriend them and then use their house, say in Clacton, as a distribution point. And I've heard one story from a colleague where a man literally had nothing left in his house. He didn't have a chair to sit on or a bed to sleep in. And he was just afraid of this woman, actually, who was controlling him. And we managed to move him elsewhere, and then he happened to move into a house where a former drug dealer had lived, so he ended up in the same trap. I don't know how he's now, but that's happening as well.
There you go. So let's pray. Let's just ask and just ask God, whatever's on your heart in these areas, let's just pray.